stuff.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I am so looking forward to the national championship game on Monday night. And I have a main reason for looking forward to it. Because it feels like for the first time, Clemson might actually be the team that America is rooting against. Now, I have this theory that, and I'm not the only one that has this theory, but that we just want new, fresh faces. We want new blood. We don't want the same old, even if that same old is really good. You saw it with the Patriots, you saw it with Alabama, and now it's Clemson's turn to carry it on. And nothing would make me happier, because I think Dabo relishes in that. I think Dabo has had a chip on his shoulder the entire season, being the number one team in the nation coming into the college football season, and then watching as that was slowly taken away from him by the play of other teams despite not losing a game. Right? We don't usually see that in college football. You come in number one, you continue to win games, continue to look good, have a game or two that doesn't look all that awesome, but you don't go to five. At one point, they were five. Dabo loves this kind of stuff. He gets his guys riled up for this kind of stuff. But do you remember when Dabo was the fun coach? Remember when Clemson was the fun team? Remember when they were going to take down the mighty Alabama Crimson Tide and their dynasty in college football, and everybody was leaning towards them? I wonder if it's the opposite now. It's Dabo's turn to be on the flip side of that, because Ed Orgeron is a lovable head coach, and we've all marveled at Joe Burrow. But always remember this, if you're pulling for LSU and you're outside of the SEC bubble, remember, you're rooting for the conference that loves to brag about this kind of thing. You're rooting for the conference that not only likes to brag about this kind of thing, but openly roots for teams in the conference to win championships to enhance the status of the conference as the most dominant one in college football. So you can root for Dabo to win another national championship, and you can root for Trevor Lawrence to hoist another trophy. But if you go LSU side, remember what comes with it. SEC, SEC, SEC. And if that kind of bothers you, maybe stick with good old Dabo on Monday night. I think it's going to be an epic classic battle. I think it's going to be fantastic. Worth your time and effort and money on Monday night, if indeed you're so inclined. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us again, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. After the NFL season, it is now being reported that more people, Ron, are watching football on television and not actually attending games. Attendance is down at its lowest in 15 years. Of attending games.
It's the NFL's fault.
It is. There is nothing you're going to. That is a tide you're never going to change. I don't know how you make the in-game experience at the stadium better than what people are getting at their homes. Because the way the NFL is, it's a really perfect league in terms of the way it designed itself, right? Because we talk about these other sports, NBA, Major League Baseball, even a lot of goes into, you know, the NHL, is that it's so locally oriented that you just get in an island of your local team. Baseball is a perfect example of that, where most of its revenues are coming from the local media dollars that the teams are generating. It's good for baseball when locally you're interested, but it's not something that makes people sort of look across the landscape. And, you know, you don't find people in, you know, Tampa, for example, like, I'm going to stay up and watch the Angels Mariners game in July. It just doesn't work that way. But the NFL does it completely differently. Every game matters in some respect, no matter who you're rooting for. And all the games have some sort of impact, whether it's fantasy, whether it's betting, whether it's just the overall I need this team to lose because they impact my playoff push. There's just more a national appeal to this. When you've got a program like Red Zone, when you've got high def TVs, when you've got an ability to just feel the NFL at home, it is hard to cut that and cut people away from that. When you're asking for high dollar ticket prices, high dollar concessions, high dollar parking, it ain't cheap to go to a game. And I know the experience is fun but I know plenty of people here in Nashville that used to have season tickets but don't anymore because, you know, it just got to be a point in the budget where just they could do other things with the money. And also the Titans weren't good. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of it was when the Titans weren't playing all that well, they just didn't feel the urge to go. But the prices were getting raised. They felt the impact economically in their pocketbooks. They, you know, their kids were getting older. There were other things their kids wanted to do. And they started looking at the dollars that they were spending on going to Titans games and saying, I'd rather use the money somewhere else. Even if the Titans were good, I think those decisions would have still been made. I think you multiply that across the board, and that's where the NFL is. It's still an incredible product to view on television, to absorb on television. I mean, look, I don't know how you duplicate the Red Zone concept in other sports. I don't know if you can. I mean, it's just that and get the same level of interest and the same level of loyalty among the viewers. I mean, if baseball did this on every night, would people really watch? Like, would people settle in on a Tuesday in August and watch a scoring type of show in Major League Baseball? Here are all the games. Let's go to Atlanta. Right now, they've got Ronald Acuna Jr. is at the plate, and a game is tied, but not anymore as he hits a home run. And then, boom, we're going to go back to Milwaukee for this moment, and we're going to go to Yankee Stadium for this moment. Does that appeal to anybody? Would that appeal to a lot of people like Red Zone does, with its implications on fantasy and its implications on a bevy of things that people watch the NFL for? I don't think you could create that. NBA, the same thing. I wouldn't mind a show where we bounced around the league, you know, the NBA, and watched clips of games and said, okay, here in Philadelphia, they're doing this, and here's what's going on. Here's who's leading scorer. Here's how the game flow is going. Whoop, we're going off to Milwaukee. Here's what Giannis is doing. We're going out to Houston. Here's what James Harden is doing. That seems really interesting, but it's not Red Zone interesting. It's not on the same level as what the Red Zone is doing. I mean, I just think the in-game experience, the NFL only has so much that it can do, right? And it's, look, could they lower ticket prices? Yeah, but in the end, ticket prices, they're not, if there's a demand, it will stay up. I mean, I guess they could, but it still doesn't. I don't think people are staying away necessarily because it's not affordable. I think they're staying away from it a lot of times is because the in-game experience doesn't match the same thing they can get at home. I think the home product is much better. And with technology, it's getting better and better and better. I was in an electronics store not that long ago. I was looking for something unrelated to television. And somehow I got suckered into the TVs. And I haven't bought a TV in a long time. Have you seen these new 8K TV things? They're unbelievable.
Yes.
They're unbelievable.
Then you got some with curved screen. I was looking at TVs the other day because, you know, remember several months ago I told you that I have a man, I was bestowed a man cave, and it's been a work in progress. And one of the things now, I'm like, you know what? I want to put a TV on the wall. I think I just need it.
Yeah.
I need it for work purposes, if you will.
That's...
And I was looking at TVs and I was shocked. I'm like, my God, they are so cheap now.
They are. I remember the first time I saw an HD television and I saw the price tag. I thought, oh, this is a luxury for the rich.
Yeah, exactly.
The rich are going to be able to watch hockey games where the ice is you know, just crystal clear.
I remember, I got
like three of them in my house.
I remember when my wife and I bought our first home, and we were, you know, expecting a child on the way. And we said, you know what, we're going to spend a little bit more on a TV because we know basically our nightlife is over. So we're going to spend a lot more. That's going to be our entertainment. And we bought a 50-inch plasma TV. And I remember we set up a payment plan because it was too much for us to do all at once. And we set up a payment plan to pay it off over time.
Yeah.
And I look back at that TV now, and you know, or even several years after we found that TV, and it was less than half the price that we had paid for it originally.
Wow.
today that TV, today that TV, you know, would cost you about the same price as a VCR.
And they're getting better, and think the experience is just too much. I mean, it's I look forward to just settling in, big screen, high def, red zone, you know, game, whatever game of the week I'm watching. I love that. And listen, I used to have to go to Broncos games. I've gone to 100 Bronco games when I in time for work. And I had free parking and free food and all that. But when I told people that, they were like, wow, what a great job. And I said, yeah, it was a great job when the Broncos were good and the Broncos were playing well and the Broncos were important games. But I said, you know what? When they weren't important games, you know what I was doing? I was logging plays and doing my updates and doing my call-ins and all the things that I was doing while the Patriots were playing the Steelers in a big AFC matchup in December. That's what I was doing. I was paying attention to a Broncos team that wasn't going to the playoffs on a run on third down and logging who made the run, how long, and what it set up, and then making call-ins to various radio stations while the name your big team in a big game in the Buck Aikman Fox world that was on somewhere else. And I couldn't watch that at all. I couldn't watch it on my computer. I couldn't watch it on anything. I had to pay attention to my job. And I said, now I have to absorb the whole league. And there's no better place to do that than at home.
Yeah, not
only that.
There's
no better place to do that at home. Certainly. And most people in my industry are finding that out more and more. Now, some of the people I my colleagues have to go to games, have to cover games. But when the idea is just to absorb the Sunday, you can't do it from one NFL stadium in one. If I went to the Titans game every Sunday that they were home, I would miss out on a good portion of what I want to talk about on Monday.
Not only that, but there's certain technologies that we have now that just aren't afforded to us in the live game experience, it being inside a stadium. You know, how many times is this? I know you go to your daughter's basketball games all the time. I go to my son's, my kids' games all the time. I wish there are times where I had instant replay.
Oh, no kidding.
And even though when you're in a live stadium, you know, you can look at the you can look at the Jumbotron and they'll replay it. It's not the same thing. It's not the same feeling that you get as being at home and like, oh, let me watch this. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to rewind this real quick because I want to see this in real time again.
Yeah.
How did I miss this?
It's a dilemma the NFL has that they're not going to be able to come and look. Arthur Blank has tried to lower consensus prices. That helps.
Great idea.
That helps. It's, you know, I don't know. I hate to say this, but ticket prices are really just a supply and demand thing. You can get cheap tickets if your team stinks. You can find, there's some places where, you know, you can get cheap tickets, but it also depends on where you live. I mean, even when the team is lousy, like in Denver, you couldn't get tickets for $20, right? You still had to pay a good amount of money. You know, it's not like Jacksonville where remember the deal with the Gardner Minshew deal? Those seemed very reasonably priced.
Or the Redskins when they were, this past season,
there was like $5 or something. Tickets, something like that. It was crazy how that story went down. The Redskins were so bad. You could get tickets for like $8.
But then when they are that bad, why do you want to see that? Why would you want to spend money to like, hey, let me go watch a really poor team play?
Right, exactly.
Or I could just sit at home and maybe I'll catch this game or maybe I'll flip it to another.
But this is not to kill the NFL. This is actually to praise the NFL because they've done with the red zone and the embracement of fantasy, I mean, look, you watch these pregame shows, they're telling you fantasy news. You watch these, you watch the graphics now, these broadcast companies that used to kind of push aside fantasy as like, oh, that's a nerdy thing. We're not going to give any sort of credence to that whatsoever. Now devote so much of their statistics to fantasy and what it means. They've embraced the idea that people want to watch scoring. They want to watch the action around the league. They want to see what's going on around the league. And so they've made the product better on television. They've made it with instant replay and analysis, all of that stuff. They've made it better. This is not somebody forcing technology on them that they're reluctantly pushing aside. They're the ones that helped make the in-home viewing much better than going to the stadium. Micah correcting me on Twitter. Thank you, Micah. Baseball does do it. MLB Tonight. Every night it's like Red Zone. Oh, okay. Well, I don't really watch MLB Tonight. I need to watch that then. I would watch that. I don't watch MLB Network as much as I should.
I know, we should.
I watch the Braves. I watch the Braves on my local thing. I do have the Braves on a lot during the summer. And then when I lived in New Jersey, I had the Yankees.
I mean,
but I don't watch MLB Network. It doesn't hit me like NFL Network does.
Red zone version of Major League Baseball, though, is probably a good thing.
Oh,
because,
I think
because then all of a sudden there's a lot more action.
Yeah.
Like football, you know, we can get into a good drive that goes nowhere, that ends in a punt, right? But in Major League Baseball, you could have like 3-4 innings of just, you know, good baseball, but no action.
Nothing going, yeah, right.
And then that's where you kind of like start sitting there watching going, oh, I'm going to see what else is on.
Thank you, Micah, for the correction. I will start paying attention to that this baseball season.
Is it on now, Micah?
Is it on now, Micah? Do they have like replays of games? I'd like to know. What are they carrying? Is
Hot Stove League heating up?
What's all the good baseball stuff this offseason? By the way, that's starting soon, Ron. The calendar's creeping up on us.
Yep.
Pitchers and catchers report in like 6 weeks, right?
Yeah, isn't it? Maybe 7? Early round the Super Bowl. Yeah,
well, that's closer than that. That's probably 4 or 5 weeks then.
I know, that's a little upsetting.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, we got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up this hour as well. Coming up, I did want to get into a little bit of baseball with the situation that's going on with Boston, and now they're in this cheating scandal. That's next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'm now kind of excited of the MLB Network's red zone-like take on Major League Baseball every night this summer. I'm now going to dive on in. Before we get to the baseball news of the day, remember how I said that the New York newspapers used Clueless Joe when Joe Torre got hired? And maybe the papers should have done that, sort of try to get a little magic because Joe Torre worked out.
Did they come up with something better?
No, they did. They couldn't have something real, so much so that two newspapers took the same headline with Joe Judge getting hired. Because Joe Judge is now the Giants coach and not Matt Rhule, the Daily News and Newsday in New York went with the headline, Judge over Rhule. Pretty good, huh?
Nice.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Nice. Except the New York Post. The New York Post went simple. The judge is in, but the jury is still out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Steve Serby's column in the New York Post is, headline is, Giants take ultimate flyer on 38-year-old no-name.
How soon, if Joe Judge is a success?
Yes.
How soon will we start seeing ads in the New York area with the two judges?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a great question. It didn't take long for Yankee fans in the outfield to start going dressing up as judges and all rise and all that stuff for Aaron Judge. If the Giants start winning games, they'll do the exact same thing in MetLife Stadium.
Yeah,
I think they have to. It's kind of
so. Don't use the headline. Don't judge him too quickly.
Right, right. Judge me on my performance.
Judge me by my size. Do you?
Right. Judge me by my size. Yeah. Right. There's all sorts of fun ways we can take the new Giants head coach for a spin through the headline machine. I know. Well, being a headline writer is tough. You got to nail that every day, don't you?
Well, I mean, if you can't
have an off night.
Conspiracy alert. If two newspapers have the same headline, are they outsourcing?
Could be. Or maybe they both were just like, this is so obvious, we guess you
Judge
can't go with something
Rhule.
Else. Judge over Rhule.
I mean, that actually is a pretty
That's
decent
pretty good.
Headline, man. That's
See, here's
good.
Why. Here's why I could never be a headline writer. Many reasons, but one of the reasons was...
Didn't even put together Judge
I
over Rhule?
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Like, all day yesterday, when I knew that they had gone with Joe Judge over Matt Rhule, I never even crossed my mind that there was some relationship to the name. Now, if my job was being a headline writer and I had worked my way up to that position, maybe my mindset would have just naturally evolved into that, where I'm just constantly playing word games with things to try to come up with the best headline that I possibly can. But you got to nail that every day. But you know what's weird? Back in the old days, a headline writer was extremely important because a city like New York would have like 10 newspapers. And the headline was what people dropped their nickels They would walk by and there would be a little kid and he'd be like, extra, extra, Teddy Roosevelt is blah, 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 blah. And you'd be like, oh my God, give me that. I got to take it right now. Does the headline still work in this day and age of people kind of getting it electronically? And I mean, does the headline grab you now? Where you walk by and you go, oh my God, judge overrule. How much is that newspaper? $1.25. Here's a sawbuck. Take it all. And then you run to the subway. Does that work still? Is that an old crafty newspaper thing that they'll never get rid of? Because it's still cool. Still cool to have.
I don't know. I feel like it's going away.
I think it is too. I think the
papers
only
are going away. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Really. I think headlines in papers like what the New York papers do, doesn't really work in other cities.
No.
Like the Tennessean where I live, they don't take Ryan Tannehill's name and make some flashy headline out of it. They just say what the article is about, and that's it. They don't try to make something
corny.
Fancy. Yeah, they don't do something corny or ridiculous or crazy.
We're not Ryan. Tannehill's better than Mariota.
Right. That's right. That's right. We're not Ryan. Right. Exactly. They don't do that. So, nevertheless. Major League Baseball is going to solve another problem. Now they're saying that the Boston Red Sox cheated in 2018. Yep. Why don't we just say every team cheated and just leave it at that?
Or it's pointing a finger at one individual.
Yeah, Alex Cora.
Yeah.
Alex Cora is at the center of all this. It isn't a good look. It is not a good look for Alex Cora when you're on the bench for the Astros in 2017 and they get accused of cheating by stealing signs. And then you go to the Red Sox and there's a replay room that you can hang out in and see the signs. And you're the same guy. You're the link between the two cheating scandals. That's not a coincidence. That's usually, you know, a good homicide cop would go, wait a minute, you were at both murder scenes at the same time? Gotta bring you in for questioning. Yeah, Alex Cora is at the center of this. But I got a larger question. This is serious. Is this something people are worked up about? Are people like, you know, because when the Patriots went to Cincinnati to do that little bit, right? It was like, oh my God, punish them. How dare they?
Right. I was seeing it the other day where they're talking about Tom Brady and his legacy, and they were, you know, going on about, oh, you know, started off so great, blah, 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 you know, Super Bowl wins, fresh face on the field. They're showing his combine video, and then they go, you know, Deflategate.
Yeah. He took air out of footballs.
Yeah.
And thus beat the Colts in the AFC title.
Had reporters asking him, are you a cheater? But okay, here's my take on this. I mean, it's big news in Houston for obvious reasons.
Oh, sure.
It'll be big news in Boston for obvious reasons, and I think it'll be big news in New York for obvious reasons. Because New York seems to be at the center of the finger pointing.
Yeah, but of course, because they lost the ALCS in 2017 to the Astros,
yeah.
And then they got kicked out of the 2018 playoffs quickly by the Red Sox.
Well, not only that, but I mean, they'll just point fingers at the Red Sox.
Oh, of course.
Cheater over there, cheater!
Of course,
cheater!
Of course. Yeah, anything that they can do to taint the success of the Boston Red Sox, they are certainly
anything.
Going to do that. But, I mean, is anybody screaming about this? Baseball needs to go, look, guys, in the future, we're really going to punish you hard, but let's try to get this over with as quickly as possible. I just think it's I don't think people are screaming about this.
I mean, Jeff Passan of the ESPN is reporting that, you know, Major League Baseball might have a solution in 2 weeks. And like 2 weeks, I mean, what else are they rolling over?
What are you doing? What's taking forever?
And then I can't remember who. There was some guy saying that the punishment towards the Astros might be severe. Like one might be getting a ban for a long period of time, where the other one might be getting a ban for life.
Holy cow! Really?
That was a rumor that's floating around. I'm like, how can you ban someone for life over this?
They're not going to take the title away from them, are they? Are they going to put an asterisk next to it? Yeah. Are they going to remove it from the history books as vacated?
We need to start putting asterisks next to everything.
Like the
that solves it all.
Like anything that anybody won at in the NCAA basketball tournament, where they go, nah, that Final Four appearance, that doesn't exist anymore, Michigan. Right, or anything else like that? Are they just going to go, 2017, vacated. 2018, vacated. That would be really harsh.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's time for the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Wednesday as we continue along on SB Nation AM. So let's feel good by getting the good this morning.
Well, you know, the good of the day is actually a public service announcement.
Oh, very good. I like these.
Yeah, public service announcement. Just a friendly reminder from your favorite morning show that it is officially Girl Scout cookie season.
Oh, that's right. It is. Yes. All your New Year's resolutions are going down the toilet because of Samoas. And Thin Mints.
Well, that, and they introduced a new cookie this year, which I'm a little nervous about.
Which is what?
It's a lemon called Lemon Ups.
Oh, no kidding.
So it's like a...
That sounds delicious.
It's like a lemon shortbread cookie with a lemon-flavored icing.
Wow, very nice, Girl Scouts.
So a light, refreshing cookie, if you will.
Why did they get rid of the chocolate chip cookies? They had those for a long time, and then they got rid of them.
I don't even remember those.
No, I like the toffee cookies. There's one with toffee in them. I love those. I always want to support the Girl Scouts by buying a bunch of cookie boxes.
Yeah, you're doing your civic duty.
Stop buying cookie boxes.
And if you're doing that, can that be considered a tax write-off?
Why not, right?
Because you're donating.
The amount of money I'm spending. You know what's going to happen. There's always going to be a story. It happens every year. There's always going to be the story of the Girl Scout that sets up right outside the marijuana place and just sells all the cookies.
The time.
Happens every year, doesn't
it? There's a lot more now to choose from.
Now you got more states to include that story in.
Used to just be one place. Now you have several.
Right now, you know, it's legal to sell marijuana here in Colorado, but that's not the only thing they're selling. Girl Scout Troop 485 set up shop just outside. And just little girls just like, get your cookies here. And everybody goes in there, comes back out, buys 8 boxes and leaves. She sold out in 25 minutes, which is a record, apparently, by the Girl Scouts of America. Your mom's lugging old big old wagons full of boxes. Yep. People are like, I'll just take the wagon.
Can't
put the wagon right in the back, right in the car.
Can't keep the supply up enough.
Can't keep, exactly. Exactly. There's a story like that every single year.
I'm waiting for the story outside. Well, it will never happen outside of a medical or a marijuana dispensary because no one's ever, you're never agitated.
True.
So I was going to say, like, you know, if there was a fight over the cookie, like somebody could grab the last box of Thin Mints.
They'd be like, you know, want to just share that? Yeah, let's share that.
Yeah, let's share that, man.
Just share that cookie box.
Just go sit over there.
It's awesome.
Around the corner.
Yep. I love it. I love Girl Scout cookies. They're delicious.
Yep. So just a friendly reminder.
Yep. There you go.
Girl Scout cookie season is here.
So now let's get to the bad.
The bad, you know, we're going to stick with the marijuana.
Okay, very good. I'm glad I was able to transition that smoothly.
It was almost as if you didn't know.
Yes.
This is a potentially bad.
Okay.
Okay. If this does not get approved, this would be bad. The Ohio Medical Board has been presented a request, a petition, if you will, that a valid reason for medical marijuana usage is being a Bengals or Browns fan.
Oh, they did really? Okay.
I think the Ohio Medical Board shouldn't even think twice about this.
They should just dump it right. Yeah, absolutely.
They should, right?
Right. Why not?
You know, Bengals fan.
They know.
Bengals fan, you know, you've had some success in the past. You can't win a game in the playoffs. We know that. Right? Browns fan, on the other hand, you have a whole slew of reasons to just be, you know, stoned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because, remember, we went into the season, Browns fan was going to the Super Bowl.
That's right. They finally turned things around.
Or maybe they're not going to the Super Bowl, but they're making a deep playoff run. And then you have a season like you had this year. Yeah, they should be allowed to, I mean, that's medical marijuana usage is for anxiety. I can't think of any more higher anxiety than being a Browns or Bengals fan.
I know we repeat this, but it's worth saying again. When the Browns got back into the league in 1999, they have not won a playoff game in 20 seasons.
Yeah.
Now, if you had gone back when the Browns had no team and said, we're going to give you a team again, yay.
But the caveat is they don't get any playoff wins for 20 seasons. People would have been like, no, that, no. We'll get one or two. We may not win the Super Bowl, but we'll go a few times, right? Aren't you the league where you're supposed to be able to turn it around quickly? Supposed to be giving us all the tools to get better? There's no way we'll be completely inept for 20 years. That doesn't sound right at all. We'll have, you know, expansion teams will go to Super Bowls. No, not us. That's got to be awful. You're right. They should absolutely understand the plight of Bengals. And the Bengals haven't won a playoff game in forever either.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think but I mean, early 90s.
They've gone a bunch of times.
They've gone a few times. So I know the Steelers beat Carson Palmer one year when they rolled on his ankle.
Which, by the way, I think was probably one of the reasons why Jerry Jones, he probably invited Marvin Lewis in just to see what he had to say, but was never going to hire him because he's like, hey, man, we just got rid of a guy who won at least two playoff games.
That's right. Yeah, you, on the other hand, never did.
Never.
So, well, we appreciate the insight, and we appreciate you coming in and help yourself to some coffee on the way out. We don't really need a guy who's never won a playoff game. That's exactly not the problem here. The problem here is we don't go far enough into the playoffs, which seems to be a struggle for you even to get into the postseason and win a game.
In fact, so, I mean, I would go as far as saying the Ohio Medical Board should have free pot Sundays.
I think so, too.
It sounds, just start handing them out.
Sounds like where they should go because it doesn't sound – it does not sound very promising.
Hand them out with a box of Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah. God. Joe Burrow, baby, in Cincinnati. Hey, can't wait. Can't wait. Meanwhile, Cleveland is still kind of up in the air. They don't even have a head coach today.
I know. I saw one rumor that was like, you know a good place you know a good quarterback change for the Browns would be Tom Brady.
Oh, like, yeah, sure.
Why would he want to go there?
Oh, my God. No way.
And would you really want to have Baker following you up?
Oh.
But they were saying, you know, Brady to Browns because if Josh McDaniels was to go to the Browns, it'd be a good fit for Brady. And he has two weapons.
These are hysterical
but he doesn't have his wide receivers coach anymore. So yeah, that's a big deal.
That's right. That is a big deal. You know, that may be the feather in the cap now of the decision to leave the Patriots.
Exactly.
Is that they lost Joe Judge. It's like Brady's like, if I don't have Joe Judge guiding my wide receivers, I got nobody.
What do I have? I have nothing.
What do I have? I got nothing. So nobody can do the job he did. My God. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, LSU is not canceling classes for the national championship.
Ooh, all right. Yeah, no. They need to do this.
They're not canceling classes
the next day, right?
No, for Monday or Tuesday. I'm specifically pointing out that Clemson's not canceling classes either. But I'm specifically pointing out LSU not canceling classes because isn't Baton Rouge like an hour away from New Orleans?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty, it is. I don't know the exact distance, but they need to.
It's close enough.
Close enough. Now, cancel classes. Just cancel classes. It's fine.
Just do it. It's okay.
It's fine. No one's going to go crazy. No one's going to lose it. Cancel classes. It's close. A lot of students are going to go there. And here's the other thing. A lot of students will go there even if they don't have a ticket, right? They'll just go to be around the city. If they win, they'll just be around. They'll watch it somewhere. Maybe they'll be in a bar in New Orleans.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll watch it outdoors.
Or they're just gonna tailgate.
Whatever it is they're going to do. They may go without a ticket. You see this at the Final Four a lot, too, where students will go to the Final Four, but they don't have a ticket to the game, but they don't care. They'll just find a local bar to watch it because everybody is there.
It's an hour and a half.
Yeah, okay, an hour and a half, 90
right.
minutes.
But and that's when you know the semester starts, I guess, next week.
Yeah.
So, but here's some food for thought. In 2018, Georgia played Alabama in the national semifinals in nearby Atlanta, and Georgia's school administrators asked professors to incorporate flexibility into their lesson plans.
Yes.
Maybe go that route. Go like
do that.
You know what? Because, I mean, okay, listen, you're not going to cancel classes. I'm guaranteeing there's a professor or two there going, I really don't want to be here either.
Right, sure. And there might be even professors that are like, well, I don't even care about the football team, but I'm sure there's
a lot of professors, you know,
right?
Nerds.
Yeah, just like, I don't care about this stupid thing.
Oh, we have a football team? Didn't know that. Study this calculus.
People complaining that Ed Orgeron's making millions of dollars.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, why does he get
I'm
an
driving
office?
My jalopy to school.
Why does he get an office with an elevator? I had to climb the stairs in this old building, this old history building. Right? I mean, just, oh, goodness gracious.
You can't even understand what he's saying, what he's asking for.
Oh, God. That must be so much
fun.
Yeah,
I mean, you should cancel classes.
Come on, LSU.
LSU, it's an hour and a half away. You're not going to have this scenario again.
Yeah, and like I said, either if you're not going to, allow some leeway, but, you know, let the students have a good time with this.
Exactly.
It's been a long season. It's going to might get a title out of the deal. It's in New Orleans, for crying out loud.
I think that's the main thing. I mean, if it was in Pasadena, this article goes on to say, University of Alabama canceled classes for 3 days in 2009.
Yeah, that's true. That was in Pasadena when they went all the way out there to play Texas.
They all travel out there.
That's right. Everybody was going out there,
but
all in the caravans.
But is this a situation? I mean, if it was, say it was played at Levi Stadium or, you know, pick your state, in Miami. I would say, you know, this, yeah, you should cancel classes. You know, cancel classes Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? If you win and it's a late, late game, are professors expecting you to be there on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't be either. Like, if I had an 8 o'clock class, I'd be like, I gotta skip it. I'm in New Orleans for crying out loud. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. What do you think? I'm going to drive home,
get my book bag, and go to class?
And
my team just won?
Yeah, I'm not
or
doing this.
For me, it might be one of those situations like, yeah, I'm going to class.
Yeah, no doubt.
Going to take some notes.
No doubt. So, no, I agree. Cancel class. Do the right thing. Enjoy it. Enjoy the time. This is rare. My God, these are rare moments when your team wins a national championship in
Clemson,
a major sport.
Clemson not canceling classes, that makes all the sense in the world.
Sure.
They're there every single year. If you started that, I mean, you know, might as well just move the whole semester back.
Dabble's like, we don't cancel classes because the expectation is when you come to Clemson that you'll have these problems every January. So it's just part of the deal when you come to Clemson. We're going to be in these games, so you got to put it into your schedule and put it into your itinerary. Make it happen. Just write it in. Pencil it in. The ACC stinks. Everybody hates us.
Yep.
So there you go.
Winter classes, that should be line one in your
That's
syllabus.
That's right. Exactly. Line one in the syllabus should be opening class after Clemson wins the title. That's the way it should be. That's the way you should look at it. Open it up. Yeah,
and,
that, no doubt.
Although unlikely, if we do lose the title game,
that's right.
It's a day of mourning.
It's right. It's a day of mourning. Very unlikely. We don't even think about it. But just in case,
it's only happened once.
Precautionary measure, but unlikely. Yeah, we'll see. That'll be fun. I can't wait for that game. I think it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah,
so much.
I might cancel class for myself.
I know. Oh,
you know, I'm sorry. Fun. You know, that Tuesday, all you great fans of ours, you might not have us.
Yeah, maybe not.
Just putting that word out there.
I might be sitting at this microphone dozing off because it probably won't get over till after midnight.
At least we hope it doesn't get over till after midnight.
God, that's going to be so great.
You know it was fantastic. You know what? Just rally. Just don't even sleep.
Yeah. Well, remember last year it was a blowout and we came back the next day and we're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What did we just watch?
Well, that's when we discovered and we learned through sources, Tony, that Trevor Lawrence was actually created in a lab.
That's right. That's when we figured out that he must have been created in a laboratory.
Yeah. No, sources told us. We didn't figure it out. Sources told us.
This is going to be great. I can't wait for Monday night.
It's going to be such a good quarterback battle. God.
That's the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Wednesday on SB Nation AM. Coming up next, a anniversary I would like to forget. Next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, it's the anniversary of this little magical gem in NFL history that I really can't stand. Here you go.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in 3 overtime games this year. They won them all.
Got him
at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him free to the 30, to the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on the New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
I'll tell you what, as a Steelers fan my whole life, I have seen my team go to the playoffs where even when they're at home, even when they're playing a team that is just barely putting it together, I usually go into the playoffs going, man, anything can happen. I'm nervous. Yep. I can see them exploiting this. I can see them winning this game. I do it for every playoff game. I don't care how good the Steelers are. I don't care how good they're playing. I still go into those playoff games going, nah, I've been down this road before. Good team losing at home to San Diego or whoever. Can't do this. Can't do this. Losing to the Patriots with Tom Brady when they were at home, that first AFC championship game where we didn't know the Patriots quite just yet. But I was 1,000% confident that they would go to Denver and beat this Broncos team. 1,000%.
You thought your Steelers, that defense, would be better than Tim Tebow?
Than Tim Tebow, who can't throw obviously, 10 yards in front of him.
But obviously, you don't know Tebow.
Did not understand. Watched it. I was there watching him do these miraculous things
all season long,
every game, and I said to myself, "It's going to end. The Steelers are going to figure this out. Right. I am not gonna doubt the Steelers winning this game."
Real quick, we had talked about the NFL attendance being low.
Yeah,
the crowd noise in this clip, that should be what the NFL markets.
Yeah.
I mean, listen to this again. I'm sorry to do this to you, but listen to this again.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in 3 overtime games this year. They won them all.
Got him
at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiffer got him 3 to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on the New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
You got it.
I mean, right there. Where are you? Wouldn't you want to be here? That's your marketing.
Yeah, wouldn't you want to be a part of this? Screaming your head off? The unexpected short Dick LeBeau cover zero, baby. Come on. I know, man. He can't throw 20 yards in front of him.
Isn't that a 5-yard slant taking to the house?
Exactly.